Welcome to AUSA Army Matters. I am Unzinger Curry.
And I'm Major Brad Cooper.
And together we bring you
Army Real Talk.
So the Army Real Talk is, of course, part of AUSA's Army Matters podcast series, but Army Real Talk is here to connect with the younger generation.
So Ms. Curry, you mean like the younger generation? Like you and I are Generation X. So what we're really trying to reach out to is Generation Y, or they call them the Millennials, and the Generation Z, which is the up-and-coming, you know, new high school, freshman in college, correct?
Exactly.
But also, as part of the younger generation, we want to make sure that we have the topics that provide a professional development, what's going on within the Army. So also those topics that that generation can relate to on a daily basis.
Exactly. Because we want our generation, as well as Generation Y and Z, to listen to this podcast, feel encouraged, feel excited about what is being discussed on a professional development level and beyond. And that is why we are here with, we have an Army soldier, as well as an American civilian, part of the younger generation, to share with us why they support the United States Army, as well as sharing some topics or some ideals that they may recommend for upcoming shows of Army Real Talk.
So we definitely want to pick y'all's brain today, and thank you guys for coming.
Yes. So first, let's just jump into introducing ourselves, and then we'll move forward from there. And I'll start. So again, my name is Unzinger Curry. I am the director of AUSA's Institute of Land Warfare. I have been here for almost 14 years, and yes, I started when I was 6. I love the Army mainly because I am an Army brat, but I'm also wife of a military vet. I will not disclose which branch because that's not relevant. But I've been supporting the Army for many years, as from Army brat to working here.
And we appreciate your Air Force husband supporting us as well, too, ma'am.
Which he actually does. He's more active here.
He's a great guy.
So yes, thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
And as you guys know, my name is Major Bradley Cooper. No relation to the real Bradley Cooper, but I'm an Army logistics major of 18 years. I've served in 3rd ID, 1st ID, 25th ID, and been on multiple deployments through Iraq and Afghanistan. Currently serving here on a one-year assignment through the Association of the United States Army as an Army Fellow. Like I said, I recently just came from the 25th, and I'm here for a year, and then hopefully I get to stay in the National Capital Region for about another couple years at the Pentagon after this assignment.
Very nice. Well, thank you for your service.
Thank you, ma'am.
And good afternoon. I'm Captain Jared Stefani. I'm an engineer officer. Currently, I'm going to Georgetown pursuing a master's in security studies. After that, I'm headed to West Point to teach American politics in the Social Department. Prior to that, when I first started out as a platoon leader, I served in the 170th Infantry Brigade Combat Team in Baumholder, Germany. Then I moved over to the 18th Engineer Brigade in Schweinfurt, Germany. And then I commanded in the 555th Engineer Brigade out of Washington State.
Good afternoon. My name is Alexis Williams. I work at AUSA in the meetings department, and we put on symposias as well as other meetings that talk about the Army's message. I started out actually in strategic advertising in the for-profit industry, and I decided to move into the nonprofit industry as time went on. I worked for the Sierra Club as well as a museum, and then decided that I had a passion for the nonprofit sector, which brought me to AUSA. One thing that I have enjoyed with being at AUSA is their willingness to always help the community. And I don't mean just the Army or the civilians, but anyone they come in contact with, even if that is somebody that is a family member that of an employee that works at AUSA. So it was important for me to work somewhere that reflected my values as well.
Very nice. Thank you.
That's great. Thank you guys both for coming. So Jared, let me ask you a quick question, man. Why do you serve? I mean, what made you want to join the Army?
Well, like most people in the service today, my family was military. Both my grandparents served in the military, so I just kind of wanted to follow along that path. And my parents always told me that I had to go to college. So I kind of paired the two together, and I wanted to serve, and I wanted to go to college, so I became an officer. And I think it's been the best thing I've ever done.
Awesome.
So Alexis, I'm curious, you definitely spoke about some of the wonderful programs and supports that AUSA has to offer its employees as well as our military, but why do you continue to work here at AUSA? Why do you continue to support the United States Army?
Well, like I mentioned before, I originally came to AUSA because I knew I wanted to work for a nonprofit. I will say that most of my family is not Army, but like in Nzinga, mostly Air Force. But I had heard about AUSA just through other family members who were contractors in the area, and they mentioned that it was a good organization to work for. And I stay here because it's a sense of family, and you know they have a good mission, and again, they're interested in helping the people that's in the community. So that's something that's important to me as well, and also the opportunity for growth, which I think in the generation that I grew up in, millennials, we especially are always looking for opportunities to grow and give back to the world. So whether that's technology or volunteering or being able to lend your talents more to the workforce, I think that's something that's important, as well as it's important for me as well. And I think that AUSA offers a platform and environment for me to be able to do that.
Very nice, very nice. So as we stated, you know, this is our first episode of Army Real Talk, AUSA's Army Matters podcast is out there, and we're really excited about what we are doing. But I really am interested in knowing, what does the younger generation want to hear about? Like, what type of topics should we explore in order to keep things interesting?
I think that currently the generation, like I mentioned before, is in this time where we're trying to compete for job opportunities. We're trying to stand out. We're trying to figure out how we can align ourselves to other companies' missions, but also be able to build other experience, not just in the education area, but also professionally. AUSA does a really great job at their education forums. They touch on family readiness. They touch on what is happening on the larger scale issues for defense and military. But I think if we had introduced a speaker or a couple to just talk to us about how we can transition into the professional world and what to expect, networking opportunities, because we don't know a lot of the higher level things that are going on because we're starting at the entry level part. So I think if there was some more insight, that would be something that would be valuable to my generation. So having some speakers on here that are a little bit more relatable for where we're at in life and giving us those tools and those stepping stones, I think is important. And that's something I would want to see on the show.
Excellent.
I think explaining the why is really important to Generation Ys and Zs, as stated before. So why does the Army have certain policies? Why does the Army conduct operations in certain parts of the world? Explaining that to the junior officers and junior enlisted, I think would really help out so where they can see where they fit into the larger picture. And then they'll have more buy-in and want to do a better job if they understand, hey, this is for something bigger. Why am I doing these layouts at 5 o'clock at night? Is it because there's a real-world mission that we have to get ready and go to, or is it because there's bad planning or something like that? So just explaining the why to the generation, I think we'll be able to provide a better way for them to have buy-in.
And that's one thing I've noticed, especially when I was a command at Fort Stewart and 3rd ID. I had younger soldiers. I would say they were millennial type. But anytime we had a mission come down from higher that was just outrageous, you know, I always had to kind of just be honest with those guys, pull them in and be like, look, we have to do this, you know, because of X, Y, and Z, and this is why we're doing it. And 9 times out of 10, those guys were like, and gals, they were like, hey, all right, sir, we got it. Let's just go ahead and get it knocked out and get it done. And if I didn't explain it to them, then that's when I got the most resistance from them. So, yeah, Jared, you're absolutely right. You know, you just got to explain the why. And, you know, why is the Army doing these certain things and what's going on? And why is it important for the future and the future modernization?
Yeah, the propensity to serve is there. We just want them to be part of the team. And everybody part of the team, I think, wants to, you know, fit how they see themselves as part of it.
And it also gives them a chance to kind of, you know, I always kind of open it up to my guys and, you know, let me hear your opinions about it, because they may have a better idea of how to do something, or just, there's always that one guy in the crowd that always had his opinion. And yeah. I'd be like, okay, got it. At least he was heard and he felt like he was heard. Then he went on and did his job.
I think that also gives people an endpoint. So rather you just doing things to do them, you're saying, hey, this is why you're doing it, and this is the goal you're going to get to. So having that why textualize the steps to get to the endpoint, I think, is important. Especially in my generation, I can say there's that immediate gratification of wanting to get the management role, the director role, or being knowledgeable within a year. But you have to take those steps and understand why you're taking the steps to better prepare you for the future.
That's good. So So let me ask y'all this. So with all those great topics in mind, and you know, Ms. Curry and I have some good ones coming up here in the near future. How do we better connect to the younger generation? Like my son, you know, I was like, hey man, you know, hit me up on the Facebook. He's like, Dad, Facebook's for old folks. And I'm like, okay, dude, got it. And he's a Generation Z guy.
Hold on, I have to ask. Do you all have a Facebook account?
I do, to keep in contact with like my parents and everyone else. So.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jared, yeah. For making me feel old.
Yeah, but I'm not really active on it. My wife's the one that posts all the pictures and okay. does all those things.
Okay. Yeah, I think when your friends start to tell you that your mom's posting about political issues going on and want to discuss that, then I think it's time to step back. Yeah, when your parents are getting on there for a platform for themselves, I don't know.
So with all the social media platforms out there that we've heard about, like, you know, the Twitter and the Instagram, I mean, how can we better connect to that generation, that younger generation? Is there some other type of new platforms that are newly coming about that we don't know about, or?
I think our generation likes, unfortunately, rapid news. So when they're going through their timeline, they're looking for something that stands out. They're looking for a message that they can get in 5 minutes because their attention span is on 10 other different things. But I was mentioning before that I think a lot of it, and I think you guys were talking about as well, is giving the why. So why should I tune in? How is this going to change my life or make me a better person in certain areas that I, you know, want to improve on? So I'm not sure it's necessarily just getting on social media. I think it's being able to get the speakers that can relate or topics that can relate, whether that be, okay, I'm looking for a new position. AUSA offers this great job fair that allows you to come in, get your resumes edited, talk to employers. So speaking about those kind of opportunities. Another thing is a scholarship program. For someone who's just got out of college, has all the student debt, but then they realize, hey, you know, I don't have any experience. And because I have no experience and no one wants to hire me right now, I've got to go back and get my master's degree, but I can't afford to get my master's degree, right? So I think being able to put opportunities like that out there, and not just talking about, hey, you know, it being informative, but also putting some context to it, like, you know, if you go to the job fair, this is who you can meet. And these are some of the success stories from it. And here's the resume editing service. So
definitely the scholarship fund at AUSA.
Correct. The scholarship fund is something that I think is important as well. And just some of the networking events that we have at the symposiums, like annual meeting is a great place to network. Also trying to figure out how you can bring them in, and whether that's like a mentorship kind of program or something like that kind of gets them involved to see the bigger picture. And I think that's what higher level folks are able to do for the younger generation.
So Jared, I mean, you and I being soldiers and all, I mean, how do we relate to the soldier basically? You're a platoon leader. You probably had, you know, some younger millennials in there. So how did you relate to them? I mean, what topics are they talking about?
I think a lot of them just want to see how they fit into the larger picture, and they want to get established in their life. So if they just came out of basic training, they want to learn their craft, and they want to fit within the platoon structure, right? The hierarchy of, they want to be a stellar soldier, and they want to be able to provide to the team. So I think as long as you just kind of hit on why they joined the service, and you kind of can cultivate that and maybe bring in some other reasons why they should continue serving, that might help provide them to stay in longer.
So are the younger soldiers right now thinking about transitioning as soon as they get in? Are they looking at the next step once they get out? Are they looking at industry? Are they looking at agency? I guess my question is that even though you're not trying to transition tomorrow, yeah. Are you still thinking about 10, 20 years from now? And is it important for you to network now in order to figure out, okay, this is what I want to do down the road, or make those connections? Is that something that you're thinking about being a younger person for the future? Are you thinking that forwardly, or are you thinking, okay, I want to get to this point, and then I'm going to think about that?
Yeah, I don't think it's they do everything for networking and how they're going to take this position and move on to the civilian world or anything like that. I think a lot of them come into the service wanting to do their job. So if they're going to be an infantry soldier, if they're going to be an engineer or a logistician, they want to do their job. So if they're being put on, you know, borrowed military manpower or detailed out for different things that aren't their job, they're going to get disconnected. So it's like trying to find a way to balance the requirements of the unit, because you have to fill those requirements, as well as doing realistic training events that capitalizes on what they have been trained in, basic and AIT. And I think as long as your unit is performing pretty tough, realistic training that is not just fun, but also where they can learn and better their skills, I think they're gonna like that quite a bit. So they call it embracing the suck as part of your unit, right? So it's like, if you're out there in the cold and the wet by yourself, it's gonna be a lot different than being out there in the wet and the cold with your battle buddies and your peers. So just making sure that when you do training events, you make it so it's a team cohesion event, I think will really pay off dividends in the long run
for retention. So civilian life is kind of a little bit structured a little bit differently.
Yeah, I was gonna
versus military life. So I think that for us, Alexis and I, you know, when I graduated from college, I was like, okay, here's my 5-year, here's my 10-year plan, and pretty much had it sketched out. It didn't go as planned, mm-hmm. exactly how I had it
you
planned.
You're an Air Force guy.
Yeah. shame on me, no. But I understand your question, because we do. We pretty much look at, okay, what are we going to do to get to where we want to go? Right. Whereas the culture of the military culture is a little bit different, because thankfully there are things in place, and soldiers explain a little bit better than me, but there are some things in place that basically says you're assigned to this unit, you're assigned to this command, et cetera. This is what you have to embrace, embark upon, do, et cetera. And then you just hear your assignment, your next assignments, and then you embrace that and you live in that moment and you have opportunity to flourish and develop new skills in that, and then you have another assignment. Is that kind of correct?
Yeah, so you always, so soldiers are always trying to grow and improve themselves. And I think they want to become the best soldier that they can.
Most of that's just human nature. Yeah. You always want to be a better person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the majority of the soldiers want to really own their skill. And when you own your skill, then you want to be able to help out your other fellow peers. And then if you're good at helping out your fellow peers and leading them, then you go into a leadership position. And then you just continue going on up the path. So it's not to say that junior soldiers and junior officers don't want more responsibility. I think actually they want a lot more responsibility than what they're given at the time. They just have to cultivate those skills that they need at the present time and get ready for the next challenge that they have, whether it be a squad leader or a platoon sergeant or a platoon leader, the next O, then company commander.
Like Jared said before, soldiers just want to do their job. They like doing their job. And that's kind of how you relate to them is basically just talking to them and explaining to them why they need to do their job. And if they get off on a different path, you know, from not doing their job, you just explain to them why, and they're pretty much going to listen in.
So when you talked about owning their skill, I think for the civilian side, we're trying to find what skill to own. So rather there being one path, there's several other paths, and you're trying to figure out what path to go on to because the end goal isn't clear. So I think that's where the civilian world kind of differs, is that you're constantly trying to find what the next step is.
And I've noticed, and please don't chastise me, but I've noticed with some millennials, when they come straight out of college, because most of them want to go straight into that managerial position right off the bat. And they may be book smart, but a lot of organizations want, you know, you to have some of that
experience.
That experience mm-hmm. within that. And I've noticed that with some of the millennial generation. Within the Army, I've noticed it, some of that sense of, hey, I want to be a leader right off the bat. But I think some of the soldiers understand that, hey, I got to hone my skill first and then slowly build up to the leadership position. But some of those guys come straight in and be like, I'm going to be a squad leader right off the bat. Okay. Yeah. Time out for a minute.
But I understand where they're coming from. So they... So millennials, I am a millennial, I've accepted it, but the moniker, but millennials and Gen Zers, they have a greater sense of wanting to be part of something bigger than themselves, and they want more responsibility. So it's not a negative thing that they want to come in and be a squad leader. I think we just have to demonstrate is, hey, there's things that you have to do in the short term. You have to learn your craft. You have to try leading a team before you can go up to a squad. But I think it's kind of actually relief. It's a relief that these soldiers come in and they want to be part of something bigger. They don't want to just be a cog. They want to be, you know, a change agent, you know, all the terms that people use. They want to be part of something bigger.
So the kind of cool thing about the military versus the civilian world is there's a track. There's a path.
Yeah.
Okay. Whereas civilians, you'll say, this is my ultimate goal. You're, as a soldier, you might say my ultimate goal in your mind. You might say your ultimate goal is to be a LTG, okay, Lieutenant General, or it might be SMA, or whatever it may be, okay? But you know there is a path that you must take in order to obtain that, okay? So I'm hoping that here with Army Real Talk, with the American civilian who supports the Army as well as the soldiers, we can provide some information about, you know what, this is a person who is in such and such position. This is how they went there. This is a person who is a colonel in the Army. This is how they, this is the path they took. And try to provide them with some feedback or some information about that path.
Yeah, I think that'd be great to bring in people that have strayed away from the, you know, traditional operational path. I think I'm a little biased because I've strayed a little bit from it. I was in aide de camp, and then now I'm in graduate school. So I'm a little bit far and distant from the operational force. And everyone says, oh, you're not going to be able to come back and perform at the same level. But I think the opportunities that you get doing things outside of being around green suiters all day, being outside of the military, has been, I think, probably one of the best eye-opening experiences that I've done. And I think I'll be a better leader for that, but time will tell.
Colleges, or at least in my experience, they didn't really prepare you for the next step.
Right.
It was this guaranteed that you would get the position. But I think now, which if you look out there, or at least the feedback that I've gotten from other folks, is that the undergrad degree isn't enough. It's kind of the entry-level high school degree at this point. And then if you don't have the experience, then there's nothing you can really do past then. And then it's ending up that students are getting a lot more debt because they're going back to school. But then again, they're back to point A with a master's degree or a law degree, or
with not that much experience.
But then they don't have anyone that's sitting there guiding them to know what the next step is, because it's always been get your education, you'll get the job.
Right.
But the education's not enough now. They want you to be specialized in something and have a special skill and experience. And I think that part is difficult. And I think that's why millennials get a little frustrated, is that they're expecting and they've been conditioned to know that they get a job because they have an education.
Major Cooper, sounds like you have a lot of ground to cover in educating our younger generation.
You as well.
Very nice, very nice. So we're going to take it back a little bit. We're going to relax. I truly appreciate both of your insights. I mean, this was very eye-opening for me. Hopefully my counterpart.
It was.
It provided us, I think, with a better understanding of what is being sought after. And then we can make sure we reach both sides of the scale. We have DA civilians or other civilians, as well as Army soldiers. So we'll definitely work towards providing professional development. That's obviously the area we want to focus on. But how to information that will reach them, but answering how as well as why in those two areas. DA civilians or civilians, as well as our wonderful Army soldiers. I'm hoping that you can also provide us with some suggestions as far as future topics, things that we can dive into and have a good discussion. Do you all have any examples or any suggestions?
I do, ma'am. So before I came to this podcast, I sent out kind of a mass text to all of my buddies and peers that are captains and a few first lieutenants, and said, hey, what are some things do you think that AUSA should discuss that you guys would like to listen to? And by far and anon, it was dispelling barracks lawyers' rumors. And that would be a huge talking point for you guys.
That is definitely a good.
Bring in some actual JAG representatives and be able to dispel some of these, you know, with a roundtable questions and answers, that'd be a great idea. We also think that summarizing policies of the United States into not just like bite-sized Twitter, characters, but actually explaining kind of, hey, this is the policy of the United States. So people will be able to speak intelligently on that. And
that.
You can go into more nuance if you want, but I just think that'd be a pretty good area. And also just giving leadership examples from company grade and senior NCOs. So a lot of times we hear from senior officers, general officers, and they haven't been a company grade officer in, you know, 20 plus years.
Exactly.
What I see happening on Facebook now is some of my previous non-commissioned officers on Facebook, they use comments every day. They say, hey, what is your leadership question of the day? One person, such as Sergeant Major Casillas, Always post on Facebook about what, like a leadership question of the day, or hey, how do you handle this type of leadership? And a lot of the senior NCOs talk on it and speak on it, and I don't ever comment on it. I just kind of read it, and I get a lot of good insight of what they're thinking and the kind of their best practices. So shout out to him. I think he's a sergeant major now. If not, he'll probably be one soon.
That is very, very helpful. I definitely jotted those down. So we will look into those, and we will make sure that those are implemented in our future shows. All righty. So this was good. This was a good conversation. I thank you both for taking the time and sitting down with us to discuss the future of the Army Real Talk, but more importantly, what our younger generation wants to hear about, how can they grow professionally, and how AUSA as well as the Army can continue to support those efforts. So to our listeners, if you are interested in providing us with suggestions or feedback, please email us at podcast@ausa.org. We would love to hear from you. And we also want you to subscribe to the Army Matters podcast either on iTunes, or you can go to ausa.org/podcast. And we will be sure to provide detailed information about what shows are coming. For example, we have what next week? What do we have?
So next week episode is Family Voices with our Family Readiness Director, Patty Barron. Definitely a lot of interesting things, and it will help out the spouses and families within the Army.
Wonderful. That sounds really interesting. And then if you're interested in learning more about AUSA or to become a member, again, visit us on ausa.org. We will be shaping our upcoming shows. We have an actual special treat for our listeners next month, which is Women's History Month in March. So we'll be providing you with a special treat next month and the months to come. So tune in to us next week again with Patty Barron with Family Voices. And everyone, I hope you have a wonderful day.
Oh.